This is Yald. Today we meet Fernando. He's one of the members of Yald's coaching staff. He's been involved with the organization for over 7 years. He sits down with Carlos and I and tells us why he volunteers and why he returns year after year.
My name is Fernando Portilla, and I've been affiliated with Yald for, I think, about 7 or 8 years now. Started out as an assistant with the 49ers.
Assistant what?
Assistant coach.
Yeah.
Assistant coach. A friend of mine had been working with Yald for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I'd go visit, you know, watch some of his games, you know, kind of got that itch, kind of got that, you know, I want to be a part of this. This is something kind of cool. So I started working as an assistant my first 2 years. And then Carlos approached me and said, hey, listen, we have an opening for a coaching position. Would you like to, you know, take over one of the teams? And I absolutely said yes. And I've been coaching the Giants for, what is it, like 3-4 years now?
So who was the person that you accompanied?
Michael Tineo. Yeah, he was the one that got me involved with it, and that's how I met Carlos and all the other administrators at Yald. But Michael's I've known Michael since the first grade. He's a childhood friend. Literally grew right around, he lived right around the block from me. Grew up with him. Families know each other, and you know he's one of my boys. So he was the one that got a company brought me in.
So when Carlos approached you to become a coach, what was the annual salary of a Yald football coach?
Monetarily nothing, but he did offer a lot of hugs, you know, some coffee in the morning sometimes, some good conversations, you know, that's how he paid you.
Got it. Well, I just wanted the audience to know that because we do have some people that are new to Yald listening in probably different parts of the country, and they're wondering, man, these people are really committed, man. How much are they making? And
Zero.
Yeah. That's not what this
Donuts.
Is about.
Yeah.
So you mentioned how you came on board. You were an assistant coach, then you got your own team. Let's go back to the beginning.
Sure.
Right? What year was that again, the beginning?
I mean, I think you would probably know that more than I would, Carlos. I think it's like, so 2022, I maybe came on like 2016, 2017?
No, before that.
Before that?
He was around in 2000, like he just showed up, like he said, like to like watch games. In 2013 and 2014 is when he got
More involved, yeah.
So he came from the beginning?
No, 2011. He came in, he came to watch games in 2013, like with Mike.
Yeah.
And then once in a blue, he'll stand on the sideline. Because I remember watching this, I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Like,
so you didn't know each other at all?
No, not at all.
I actually used to ask questions. I was like, yo, Dave,
who's this guy?
He's homeboy over here. Like, I ain't bring him over like for him to be standing on the sidelines.
Who is this guy?
And then I think by 2014 is when he officially started becoming like an assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was 2015 is when.
Yeah.
Like.
What made you ask him to be a coach, though?
Well, I saw his level of commitment on the field, and I liked how he was engaging with the kids. And I was like, well, this is something. But the coach part didn't come in. He did like maybe three, four years as an assistant coach before he became a head coach.
And did you have any plans of getting a new coach or it just so happened that way?
No. Dave, I believe that was in 2016. He, you know, he's the president of the organization and we felt that him being a coach and the president was conflicting in the league. So, you know, we told him that just become the president and we just give up the position to somebody else.
How did Dave handle that?
He didn't like it, but he understood how it could create, you know, issues because on top of that, he won 2 championships back to back.
Oh.
And I didn't want people affiliating him, his involvement with the organization.
The rig was in.
Oh.
The rig was in. That's what it was.
So he was Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. He was the Jerry Jones of y'all. Mm-hmm.
And then the assistant coach at the time, he was supposed to take over the position.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he didn't meet Yald's
standards.
So he kind of got the eject button.
Man, I was just going to leave it at that, but he hit us with the eject button. Okay.
And that's how, you know, I felt Fern was the only person that... Well, it was a discussion between Fern and another assistant coach on who we felt was ready to commit into that level of...
So then he approaches you about that, and obviously you said yes, but why? Why'd you want to do it?
Well, I've coached since I was 21. I coached in college for an organization, but it was basketball. So I really got into, you know, youth sports and, you know, being part of that community and that kind of, you know, that camaraderie that you get, you know, being part of a team and being the leader of a team. So I've been coaching for a while. And then when I saw this, when I saw Yald, one, it was obviously the coaching that drew me. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's in Washington Heights. It's my community. You know, it's something that I didn't grow up getting a chance to be involved with. So naturally, you know, it just felt right. It just felt like, you know, it was just a fit that, you know, that worked, in my opinion. You know, and obviously the kids, you know, made it easier. You know, the organizers, the, you know, the friends that I had there, that was, you know, definitely drawing me in too. But it was, there's a coaching itch I have that I feel is, you know, part of me. And I think that this was just another extension of that.
I was going to ask you, what was your first impression of Yald? But usually I've asked that question to people that have come on from the outset, mm-hmm. back when they didn't have mm-hmm. a name of the program or yeah. jerseys or anything like that. So you came in when it was a bit more established. Mm-hmm. Is yeah. that right? So then for you, it just looked like, I'm guessing, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but tell me if I'm wrong. But the question I was going to ask is, what was your first impression of Yald? But it seems as if the impression that you got was, this is something I want to be a part of.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously being, you know, friends with Mike and having conversations with him, like naturally there was, you know, an attraction there. But, you know, as I talked to the organizers, as I talked to Carlos and to Dave, and, you know, they told me stories about where they started and, you know, now where they are now, like, it's just like, who didn't want to be a part of that? You know, they started from the bottom and, you know, now they're here. Hey. Right. It was just nice to see someone from the community, not just one person, but just multiple people from the community, taking time. And because that's the most important thing. It's time. I think that's really what we have to understand about this. It's the sacrifices that you make with your time, and time is precious in this life. But it was that, you know, it was really, that was what was, you know, kind of drawing me to them. You know, they spend 6, sometimes 7 hours every Saturday, you know, from, you know, 8 a.m. to, you know, close to 1, 2 o'clock, you know, just reffing these games or talking to these kids. But it was always more than just that. You know, mm-hmm. they knew that they were, you know, giving a lasting impression. So that's really what drew me in. But I knew where they were. You know, I recognized that it was 2 or 3 teams at one point. You know, 2 or 3 teams at one point, they would, you know, share uniforms, and, you know, it was crazy. And, you know, again, you obviously want to be part of the, you know, the ground level, but, you know, I was happy to catch the elevator on the second or third floor, but it was good.
He had a balcony in it when he arrived.
It was just, there's certain things that come into your life and you just feel like, oh man, like, this is cool. This is, you know, you want to be part of this. And
it feels,
you know,
right.
It just felt right. Exactly. It just felt right. And then, you know, obviously having my best friend, you know, coaching with me as his assistant, excuse me. And then, you know, obviously making new friends. It was, you know, as much as I was doing for the kids, I think it was also helping me out. You know, just.
Let's circle back to that.
Sure.
Let's circle back to that in terms of what has the program done for you as the adult. But let's talk about the kids.
Sure.
I want you to describe the kids. Whether it's the kids you've worked with exclusively or the kids that you've just seen, how would you describe the kids in a few words, if that's possible?
A few words would be difficult, but they're eclectic. They're different. They're unique. They all come from different walks of life, and they're all connected in that way. You know, obviously, you know, not all of them are from Washington Heights. You know, we've got kids from all over, but. It just seems like it, that place just kind of drew them all in. But in terms of, you know, just personality wise, you know, there's the knuckleheads, there's the quiet ones, there's the loud and, you know, boisterous ones. There's the teeny tiny ones that you're trying to, you know, turn into the monsters. Yeah. There's the monsters that and are keep the gentle safe. Souls.
The teeny tiny ones you're trying to keep safe.
Yeah. Exactly. They're what makes, you know, they're the heart of this league. They're the
barbarians
heart of
that are not athletic at all.
Yeah, those guys. I was trying to be nice.
Oh, that's no nice. That's no nice.
I was trying to be honest. But yeah, you know, those kind of kids. Again, the ones that aren't naturally gifted, you know, physically or, you know, with sports. that just want to be part of something. So we get all these different kinds of kids,
and there's room for everybody.
There's room for everyone, and that's one of the best things about it, you know. And as a coach, you've got to make sure that you're including everyone. And I think the league does a really good job of, you know, especially, you know, I call him almost every day during the season just to talk about, you know, certain kids, or just to talk about individuals that have spoken to me, or parents that have spoken to me. You know, and there's constant dialogue, and I appreciate that.
Let's talk about that. Sure. You said there's parents that talk to you. What are the parents? What are the parents saying?
From, you know, they want to know what time the game is, you know, whether or not they want to come visit. And then there's, you know, conversations about, you know, kids misbehaving at home. You know,
and what are they expecting you to do with that as the coach?
Well, there naturally is a you know, this is a privilege to play here. It is not guaranteed. It is not given. You earn, you know, everything that you're given in this league. And it starts at home. You know, that's really where the team, you know, it gets developed, or the individual, the player gets developed. And if they're messing up at home, you know, I'm going to naturally back up, you know, the parents, because I'm an extension of them. They're an extension of me. So it's important for us to be on the same page, on the same team, so that we can get the most out of this player on and off the field.
Without giving away too many details that might not be necessary, can you think of an example where a parent was telling you something about a kid who was not meeting whatever standards at home?
Yeah.
And how you had to remedy that on the field?
So it happened last season, or maybe two seasons ago, whenever it was, but it happened recently. We had a kid who, it was a simple task. He was asked to clean his room.
You know who you are.
He was asked to clean his room.
You know exactly who you are.
And, you know, the kid was very nonchalant about it. Like, yeah, I'll do it. You know, mom tells me, hey, listen, he's not listening. He's not doing this. You know, it was a simple task. And she even sends me a video and is like, look, this is what I'm dealing with. He had left his room in shambles, you know. And again, it wasn't the first time she reached out to me about this kid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, I'm like, hey, he can come to the games, but he's not going to play.
Hey.
He's not going to play. So he literally sat on the sideline with his uniform on and watched his teammates play. And I hope, and I think he did, because, you know, he's back with us now, and he's actually participating in the Winter League as well. You know, it taught him responsibility. Like, again, this is a privilege. You know, you're not guaranteed this, right? You can be part of it, but you earn everything that you're given. And again, it starts at home. And if you're disrespecting, if you're not listening, you know, why are we going to reward you with, you know, this playing time, or this, you know, opportunity to play with your friends, when you're disrespecting the most important person, and that's, you know, your family, your household. So
you're teaching them responsibility, but also accountability.
That's really what it is. Accountability. I couldn't think of the word, but yeah, it's, you've got to be accountable. You know, we've all played sports here. You know, when our teammate messes up, you know, we have to pick them up. You know, we have to, you know, again, make them accountable for their mistakes, but, you know, hopefully they learn from their mistakes, and, you know, not break them down, instead build them up. So yeah, that was always my my thought.
No, it's funny you said it, because one of the reasons why we always wanted, there was never that pressure for me to like raise money to the extent where like, oh, I'm paying people and all that stuff, because we feel what makes it a privilege is the fact that everybody that's involved is a volunteer.
You're talking about all the adults.
I'm talking about in general as the organization and all, right? So like you as a parent, you bring in your kid here and, you know, you're like, oh, we're only paying $50, $75. It's like, all right, that's nothing. So it's like for you to come to us and attack us on any situation that it's not to your liking defeats the purpose of why we have this organization. This organization is built to make sure we develop these young men to become better individuals for themselves, for the family, for the community. And I feel a lot of the what helps us keep that culture is the fact that we're a small organization. We're not told by somebody else, this is how you're going to run your program. This is a program that's built literally, I know, you know, I started in 2011, but at the end of the day, this organization is not my organization. This organization is Fernando's, it's Dave's, it's Chewy's, it's every coach, every player. It's ours, because we continue to be part of it. We continue to build it. We continue to fulfill our mission to make better men.
Yeah.
And that helps us out with, you know, speaking to parents and stuff and let them know, hey, it's a privilege to be here. You don't have to be here.
No.
And if we feel that you are a disruption to the organization, to the team, yes, we're going to try to help. Yes, we're going to try to, you know, see what we can do. But I guess to a point where it's like you're affecting everyone, then we just got to let you go.
I know, Fernando, I know you wanted to say something, but after says something, I want to get back to what you just said. Has there been a situation where that had to happen?
I've kicked out kids in, out of the program.
All right. So Fernando, say your part, and then I'm going to get to that.
And you know, and I can piggyback off of both of what he just said. So the first thing I want to say is specifically, I think the most impressive or the most lasting thing I've witnessed here at Yald is kids going from these little naive, scared, you know, unsure of themselves kids into these adults who are responsible, who are accountable, who are, you know, becoming young men. And the most beautiful thing that I've witnessed here, again, as I said, is the fact that now we've got players, I'm sorry, not only players, but we've got coaches who were players at one point in the league, now are assistants or head coaches. Referees, exactly. One of our most, you know, impressive, you know, he's the Michael Jordan of Yald, Kevin Valentin, Camilo. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Shout out to Kevin Valentin, though, whoever you are.
Whoever you are, thank you for your services.
I was thinking about Chewy. That's what it was. We were talking about Chewy earlier. So, but anyway, no, he is now, like, he, again, dominant player. Now he's coaching, won the championship last year. As much as I'm at the field, he is there as much as I am. Whenever I have practice, this kid is always there. Excuse me, this man is always there. And now he is running the Winter League. So that, again, that
and the youth clinic or helps the youth
exactly,
clinic on
I
Sundays.
Totally forgot about that. Yes, the youth clinic as well. Like, again, it's that commitment. It's that impression that us adults are trying to, you know, impose or, you know, trying to share with these young men. Yes. And again, I, and it's not just him. You know, there are many. There's Austin. There's Jeremiah. There's Amadou.
Raphael.
You know, kids that have gone and then come back to watch. Mm-hmm. It's just truly, truly impressive. And, you know, when you've got kids leaving the program and then coming back, you know you've got something special there. You know you've got just something attracting everyone or trying to be part of this. And I think that that's one of the most beautiful things, again, about Yald.
That's great. We've
got all these, you know, alumni now who are a part of the program, not just, not were part of the program.
But Carlos, getting back to you. So you were talking earlier about how Yald is a group thing. It's a community thing. And if you're going to be a part of it, you need to contribute as opposed to take from the program. And you've had situations where you said you've had to kick a kid out of the program.
Yeah.
Now, without getting into more details than you probably would like to, what was that like and what was that about and how did the parents respond to that?
The conversation continues next time.
Because he realized that he can easily be removed.
Hold up. I want to go back to that moment, though.
Unfortunately, he was put on
the
commissioner's team. Not to name any names, Dave.
For more information or to get involved with Yald, find them at yald.org, spelled YALD.org. Or you can find them on Instagram at Yald.
Where is Joel Ramirez?
Do your thing, baby.
I'll do Yald. I'll see Sam.
1, 2, 3, Yald! 1, 2, 3,
family!
Two, three, four.